Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Hello, Tamara.
Hi, Divs.
How has the full-scale invasion influenced activism in Ukraine and in particular the veganism movement?
Well, I think a full-scale invasion shocked everyone, and like we all were scared and no one knows what to do. I think it impacted the volunteer movement in a good way because we were united, all Ukrainians, even those who never been in volunteering for any cause, they started volunteering to help animals, to help refugees, to help soldiers, and it's still happening. And how it impacted our organization. So before the full-scale war, we were more, as every animal organization, we were more focused on educational projects. We did a lot of outreach. We had online course. We did a street demonstration to raise awareness about animal agriculture, to influence people to go vegan. We conduct lectures for universities, for businesses, vegan tour to biggest cities of Ukraine. We made a book for children to talk about animals and how to be humane to them, and about veganism as well. We were more about educational work. And of course, when the full-scale invasion started, at first we were helping with everything we could. We helped animal refugees. We were helping human refugees, like people. We gave out free vegan meals. This is how the Vegan Kitchen of Ukraine started. So we just prepared free meals and share them with people who need it, because many people lost their homes and were exhausted, tired, no money, nothing. So we wanted to help everyone as much as we could. And when things a little bit settled and we kind of understood, okay, we are on the full scale war, and now we have to kind of to make projects where we have the strongest, I think, abilities or what we believe in. And we also started helping soldiers, of course, because many of our friends and people who we knew went to defend the country. So we started to support soldiers with care packages. So we used the box and pack the box with different types of vegan food, plant-based food. It could be protein bars, peanut butter, vegan sausages, vegan meat. So everything like beans, everything that soldier can eat at the front line, fuel him or herself with energy, with protein, because the traditional food in the army is not vegan, even not vegetarian, it's everything with meat. So we did that. And also we understood that we need to raise money for soldiers, because they need not only food. There are other stuff like clothing, cars, drones, everything. So we decided that we're going to organize events, which is the Vegan Weekend, a charity festival, to raise money for soldiers. And since we started, we raised 3.5 million hryvnias, I think close to $100,000. And we gave this money to the soldiers and also for the vegan care packages and for other needs of the army. And we continue to organize this event because it's kind of helping our both goals to raise money and help Ukrainian army and also promote veganism, because the festival has vegan food, lectures, and introduction to veganism where people can learn more. One of the main projects for us still is supporting vegan soldiers. And when we saw that it is really hard for the government and for the head of the country to change the system when the country is in the middle of the war, of the fighting, it is really hard for them to kind of change the food system. So we decided, okay, maybe we can help. And so there was a petition that was launched by the vegan soldier, and it hit the needed amount of signatures. And The president reviewed that petition. The petition was to implement the vegan ration in the army. But when the president viewed it, he sent it to the Minister of Defense, and they said, okay, it's a nice petition, but let's do it when the war ends. So we decided as a team, as with our volunteers and with our core team, we thought we should do something because the soldiers need help, and just the products that we used to send them, it's not the answer for all their nutrition needs, because they need normal food, complete food that can have enough protein, enough calories, so enough everything for them to continue to defend the country. Of course, just the sausage or the peanut butter would not cover all these needs. And starting in summer 2023, we were looking for producers, for partners who can help us, because we don't have any facilities to produce such packages that are not only well balanced, but also packed as is needed for the army, like the retort pouch, which is closed and it can last for 2 years. So it's kind of the standard for the army, and also it's, I think, a standard for the NATO armies as well. We asked a dietitian to work with us, who helped us to remove meat and all animal-based foods from there and replace them with plant-based foods. So we created 18 meals, different meals, which included buckwheat, rice, soups, and so on, with plant-based meat. And we packed them in 7 days ration, meaning like for 1 day you have like breakfast, lunch, and dinner with also some snacks. And yeah, it was beginning of the 2024 when we were able to reach to the Ministry of Defense and present them this ration. We launched the campaign to raise awareness of Ukrainians about the need of soldiers, that there are vegans in the army, they are vegetarians, and they need our support. So we kind of did everything we could, everything that was in our power, and we succeed with the kind of ability to meet at least with people in the Ministry of Defense and the State Operator for Non-Lethal Acquisition. They are actually responsible for providing the food for the army. So after that, there was a little pause. So we were continuing to go in kind of back and forth with the lettering and asking if there are any news about this. And just recently, a few months ago, they launched the survey in the app that is used by soldiers called Army Plus. And they made the survey to ask soldiers what kind of ration they need. And they provided 4 answers. The standard one, halal one, kosher, and plant-based. And the results was that 4% of soldiers wanted plant-based rations, plant-based MREs. And after that, we had a meeting with the state operator for non-lethal acquisition. They invited us for the meeting that where we could discuss these needs of soldiers, why it is important. And we also were able to present again our rations and all the information, all the nutrition facts about them. And after that, they made a press release. They want to work quickly. And in January 2025, they want to provide plant-based meals for soldiers. And now we are in January already. And as far as we know, there is no plant-based ration for now. So we continue to have the dialogue with the government and see how we can help. We understand that it's not the quick process and it takes time. We understand this and we don't want, you know, to rush everyone because we are in the middle of the war. But also we want to make sure that they don't forget and don't just let it go and come back to this topic in, I don't know, when the war ends, for example.
But actually, a army and president talking about vegan Russians and stuff like that, is that a big step forward, providing more evidence that during war, some processes that would otherwise take lots of time, they do move forward more quickly? Are you not satisfied yet until the actual vegan rations are really provided?
I think there are two parts of the question. So first one, if it is a big step forward, I think absolutely it is. It is a huge step. I think before the full-scale war, we even didn't think about the army and the food in the army a little bit kind of separate from this, and I feel shame for this because the war happened for 11 years already, since 2014. And I don't know, maybe I was too small or too young to understand this stuff, but now I see clearly that the war is happening for so many years. And just the full-scale invasion kind of opened my eyes, and not only mine, but for many people. So I think it's a big step forward, and I'm happy that we are doing this. And I think before, we never seen such an attitude, and in a good way, such a kind of perception of veganism in this way. I think before, everyone were skeptical or even didn't understand what veganism means, why it is important. I mean, there are still a lot of people who are skeptical, but I think it's changed. And for example, since the beginning of the full-scale war, we had many interviews with Ukrainian journalists, and we saw how the wording changed. So before, it could be interviews like, what do you eat if you don't eat animals? And maybe jokes or something like this. And now they were like, we need to respect this because there are soldiers who defend the country. We need to support them. And we saw the shift, a little bit, a shift of perception and maybe respect for this ethical choice, for this ethical life.
But the army is also different now, right? If before those were the guys who were professionally interested in all things army and they just followed their calling, now the Ukrainian army is the people's army, right? That you have many friends and relatives who are fighting in the army, I'm guessing, right? It's not something, well, here we, the people, the peace-loving people, and then the army guys, but it's the same right now.
Yeah, you are right. You are correct. So I think, yeah, that's why before we kind of felt it's a little bit somewhere else, but now we feel it in our hearts and in our homes. I think there is no people left who wasn't impacted by war and by the loss. So I think at this time, I think everyone lost someone. So it's hard for me to believe that there are people who are not impacted. But of course, it's not as everywhere. It's not so black and white. And of course, there are some people who are not so involved in the volunteering or in the fighting. But you're absolutely correct about that army changed, because now the people, the civilians, went to defend the country and they become the army. They become soldiers, and now we have the friends, relatives, our colleagues who are serving in the army. And of course, it's not only the army, it's full country fighting against Russia. This is a huge step forward. Second part of the question, of course, we would not be happy and satisfied until we see soldiers who have the plant-based rations that are not ours, and they say, we don't need your rations anymore because the government and the army already provided. I'm waiting for this, and until that happens, we are not going to stop. We're going to support every soldier that needs the food, the vegan food, and also we continue the dialogue and continue requiring the vegan food for soldiers, because we see there is a request, there is a huge request. And 4%, I actually thought it may be a little bit less, but 4%, it's even more than I expected. So it's a huge number of people and huge number of people who need this food. And there is also one important point why it should be implemented by the government, because when it is covered by volunteers using the post mail and to deliver the parcels, to deliver the rations, and not everywhere there is a possibility to go to the post mail. Not everywhere the post works at all, especially the closer to the front line, the harder to find such places where you can order something and get it delivered. And there are cases, unfortunately, when soldiers went to the post to take the parcel and they were attacked by drones. And there are cases where soldiers died. So it shouldn't be like this, where soldiers should risk their lives to go to the post mail and to take the package. They should have it already there. And there is also another stories, because you on the front line, you never control when you have the time to go and pick up your package. And there are cases where people were for 15 days were unable to go out, and they were kind of starving and eating just bread, or compromising their beliefs and eating something what they had, and felt bad about this because they didn't want to, but because of necessity they had to. There are a lot of situations where there is no option. We understand that. But in case of food, I think it's just the simple. It's not the weapons. It's something that really simple. It's just food. And it's something that people need every day.
I'm not vegan myself. So could you just help me to understand, what does a vegan feel like when you have no other option but to eat meat-based food?
Yeah, I want to maybe a little bit explain for maybe for listeners. There are confusions. I think it's understandable because not everyone read or understand what veganism means. The short explanation is that veganism is the principle where you don't want to exploit animals or use the products that were made with exploitation of animals. So this means that you avoid things and products that consist some kind of animal exploitation. It can be food, it can be clothing, entertainment, everything. So it is a principle with which you live. In such situations where you have no options, it wouldn't be considered as non-vegan thing to eat at least something, because you have no options. So it's not about starving to death and, I don't know, ignoring your life needs. When you are on the front line and you have no options, it's understandable that you will eat something.
Yeah, but what do you feel when you put in a position?
Oh, you feel really bad. So we heard such stories, and it's really heartbreaking to hear, because some soldiers, they really try not to eat, and they lose a lot of weight because they don't want to eat animal-based products. They try to avoid it as long as possible, as much as possible, and when they have no choice and there is a necessity, and then they eat it. First of all, there is a physical impact. So you can have stomach ache. You can have, I don't know how you call it in English, but you feel just bad, want to throw up, throw out. Because if you didn't eat animal products for many years, it's something that kind of not ordinary for you to eat, and you can feel bad. And second of all, it can impact your physical or mental health in a way that you didn't want to do it, but you had to do it, and you can feel that you kind of compromised your beliefs, or you even how to say, that you crossed them. So you are not you anymore. So you believed that you are an ethical person and you are vegan, and now you have to eat this, and it can just impact your state of mind, except everything else happening there. And this is really hard. And also there are another point. So I heard the story of soldiers that they shared when they have the vegan rations, they don't have to think what to eat. So they just eat. And when they don't have this vegan MREs, so they have to think about this and use the time to think about food and where to get it instead of focusing on their missions. And it was a new point for me. I never thought about this. I think it's not something they need to think about. They need to think about mission, need to think about survival, to defend and so on, and not about where to get their vegan food.
So in that sense, actually, this becomes a part of a national security question. If you have an army with maybe 4% of soldiers not eating enough or spending time to find solution when they probably should put their mind on their military goals, it sort of becomes a national security issue. Is that correct? Especially in times when we hear that Ukrainian army is understaffed and they need more soldiers.
I'm not the expert to say if it is the national security. For me, it seems that it is important, but I would just not risk to say it's the most important. Or
not the most important, but you need your soldiers to be well fed, right?
Yes. So it's necessity.
Yeah, not starving.
Yes, it is a necessity, and the food is necessity. And I think people, not everyone, of course, but it seems like even in the Ministry of Defense, they understand this. That's why they doing some steps. I don't know how exactly it works inside the institution, because it's, of course, a lot of, I believe, bureaucracy and many kind of, there are a lot of rules how it should be done. So that's why I think it takes time, and maybe takes more time than even they think it should take. So I'm optimistic. I'm still optimistic about everything. And I'm still optimistic about this topic as well. But I am also skeptical, because I don't want to just put my arms down and think that everything going to be fine. I understand that if we're not pushing enough, nothing's going to change. And it's not just in the army, it's not just in Ukraine, I think it's just everywhere. So I think we should continue to push, continue to talk about this, continue to campaign, continue to support soldiers.
Your organization, Every Animal, has also a side project, if I might say, a vegan kitchen of Ukraine that you mentioned, that provides some vegan food options for soldiers and sending them to frontline. Could you talk a little bit more about that and tell me how many portions of vegan meal have you prepared so far?
When the full-scale invasion started, we launched this project. At the beginning, it was not only for soldiers, it was also for refugees. And we prepared the hot meals for refugees. We operated in 12 cities for almost 2 years, and we provided free vegan meals for refugees and also for soldiers. So where we could, we tried to deliver hot meals. It's usually worked for the military bases, not for the front line, of course, but for the bases where soldiers were kind of lived, so we could. And hot meals, for the vegan free hot meals, we delivered 126,000 vegan meals. And with the parcels, at the beginning, we made them with the products we buy in supermarket or order. So it was the peanut butter, sausages, and stuff like this. And then we switched to the vegan MREs, which we are sending now, which is a fully prepared meal that is packed in retort pouch. So it's absolutely military food, but inside there is vegan food. And it lasts for 2 years. year. So it's, yeah, the standard meal for the army. So since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, we sent more than 2,000 weekly rations, meaning that we packed boxes or we send in parcels now. For now, we send this care package, which consists of 18 meals. And it's buckwheat soup, pea soup, rice soup, borscht, different types of dishes with plant-based meat, and it's ready to eat. And in our estimates, it lasts for 1 week.
As I understand that there are still those who ask, why should we talk about veganism during the time of war, when the future of our nation is decided on the front line? What do you reply to those?
It's a good question. And yeah, we sometimes people ask us, and I think it's very important to talk about these issues no matter where we are in the war or no, because during the war, animals are also dying and they're also victims of the war, especially those who are farmed animals. There are millions of those animals who are left behind, who were killed by missiles, who were killed by drones, and or starved to death without any water or food. So these animals are dying there now even more than I think any time before. And probably you yourself and listeners maybe saw how soldiers and just civilians rescue their dogs and cats and sometimes other animals. And I think this differs us from our enemy, that we care not only about ourselves, but also about other creatures, also about animals, because they are here with us, not for us. And it is important to care for them, because this is how we show our humanity, show our kindness, and show that we are humans and not evils and not robots, not machines. We are human with hearts, and we feel compassion, we feel love to animals as well. And there's so many stories how soldiers rescued pig rescued from the Donetsk region, from Bakhmut, that lives in the sanctuary near Kyiv. There are such beautiful stories where soldiers even risk their lives. Veganism is just a step forward of this compassion. So when we rescue animals, it's beautiful. It's absolutely important. But also we should understand that animals that are left behind, the farmed animals, the cows, sheep, pigs, chickens, they are there because of us, because of our daily choices, because we decide to eat them. Now they're bombed and now they're dying as well. They're scared. They feel the same as we do. They cannot speak, of course, but they feel these terrifying emotions. They don't know what happens. And there are cases where animal died because of these feelings. So I think it's super important to talk about this, because we now understand what it feels like when someone wants to kill you. And this is what animals go through every day. They feel that someone wants to kill you. It's all important issues, and we want to be humane, we want to be better society, and we won't be better society, better people, if we continue to exploit thousands, millions, and trillions of animals when we don't need to. We have a lot of options, we have technologies, we have science, we have so many things to live without this cruelty. So why should we continue?
The farm animals, as you mentioned, are suffering. But what can you practically do? I mean, we can speak about that, but doesn't solve anything. And as we can see, you cannot really stop Russians bombing the farms. What can be done? Or what does the talking about this issue actually give us?
Yeah, I think it's an amazing question, and thank you for this. So it is really deep problem. So I have a few thoughts here. So first of all, why it is important to talk about this? Because this is a fundamental issue that we are dealing with, is how people treat animals and how people see animals as resources. People would not go vegan in one day or even in 1 year or even in 10 years. So it's a long process, and animals are going to die every day, every year while we are going there. The main result or the main goal for us is to change people's minds on this and to inspire them to go vegan and to refuse eating or using animals in any way. And this can take some time. So we can, how to say, year by year, we can limit and go lower and lower with the amount of animals that suffer and dies. In the end of this process, we will have just a little amount of animals that can live on the sanctuaries and we can take care of them. So the point here is that we cannot help all animals right now, but if we change our perception of animals and if we change our diet and lifestyle, if we go, for example, if we go vegan, so we know that it impacts the future and impacts how many animals will be bred, how many animals the farms are breeding and exploiting and killing, because everything works as demand and proposition. And if we are changing the demand, the proposition will also change. As many people go vegan, the less animals will be killed and suffer and so on. It is important to talk in, even if we cannot do many about this, cannot do much about this. It's because we can change the future. Take action now, it impacts the future. Maybe it doesn't impact today's life and today's situation, but it impacts tomorrow for sure. It's how it just works. What we can practically do, and many people does, we can evacuate those animals. What our friends and our friendly organizations does, they evacuate animals by request from the farms or from villages, not only dogs and cats, but also farmed animals. And what we are going to do in February and March, we are going to missions as well to try to rescue farmed animals. Because they are there, of course, we cannot save all of them. It's impossible, but we can try to save some of them. And I think it's super important to talk about this and understand that everything is in our hands. And even if we feel that, oh, one person doesn't change anything, why I should change? Because it's just me and nothing else. If everyone will think like this, the world will go crazy. We should be accountable for our own decisions, for our own choices, and for our own life. And we should understand that even one life, even our choice, even if we change our life, it impacts such a, it makes such a big difference, and it makes the future better.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you about a blog post you posted almost 2 years ago on Every Animal webpage, in which you said that Ukrainians have become extremely intolerant of injustice, cruelty, including animals. We as a society have become more empathic as well as more radical to crimes over weaker, be it people or animals. 2 years later, you still stand by what you said then? How do you see really the changes in Ukrainian society in this sense?
Yeah, it's a good claim we said. Just a quick disclaimer. So since the full-scale invasion and 2 years after what we wrote that day, so I became a different person in the way that I live in the full-scale war, and I really don't have such the big amount of emotions anymore. So really kind of not robot, but I have limited emotions right now. Of course, when I see death, when I see suffering, I don't feel the same way as I felt 2 years, and of course war impacted me personally. But going back to what we wrote, so I think it is still true on one hand, but on another hand, we all are super tired and exhausted. And I think it also impacts the empathy and impacts our feelings, because when you live in such a high stress style, it impacts how you see the world and how you see everything. But interestingly, we did a survey maybe a few months ago, and of course it's not super scientific, it's just a survey in social media. I would not claim it's scientific or anything like this, but it was a small survey. We asked people how the war impacted their lifestyle. For example, did they go vegan, or they opposite, they were vegan before but they step away and now they are on a traditional way of living. And we saw that there are quite big percentage of people who went vegan during the war. And some of them claimed the war impact them to see animals suffering. And I think there is a connection between the war and the empathy, especially because we see this suffering and see this injustice and we want to save every life. And I see how the people who rescue animals, even soldiers, I think something changes in their hearts when they rescue animal. And I know the story of a guy, of the soldier who rescued goat, and he was not vegan. I don't know if he is now, but he protected this goat as, I don't know, as his son or his daughter. He was protecting her and he didn't allow anyone to do anything with the goat. And he treated her. She was had some illnesses, so he treated her and he took care of her. It's just a goat. He would say, it's not a cat, it's not a dog, let's eat it. But he didn't. He rescued. And there are some stories where people were soldiers or even civilians. They rescued animals who, in other cases, they would probably, I don't know, eat. But they see them as living creatures who also want to survive from the war. And I think there is a kind of connection there. Of course, it's just my assumption. I don't know how that works in psychology, but I think there is something that turns kind of understanding that this is also animals that wants to live.
What is your own motivation doing all this?
I'm vegan for 9 years now, and since the very beginning and until now, I truly believe that the world will go vegan at some point. We just have to work really hard to make this happen. And I think it's just important step forward for our society. When, if we look through the history, there was a lot of injustice happening between people. And we were fighting with this, and we were changed in this, and we changed eventually. Not everywhere, of course, but we are moving forward. And I think the same should happen with the animals. So it's just our next step of evolution of humanity. We just have to take animals into account when we want to see the just world, when we want to see everyone happy. Also have to involve animals there. And I think while I'm alive and until my last breath, I will fight for the best future, for the best future for animals, for the best future for Ukraine, for the best future for everyone, because I think it's just right. And even if I don't succeed, it doesn't matter, because I won't even succeed if I don't try. So I think we just have to continue the fight with enemies, fight with Russians, fight with injustice, because it's correct, because it's right. It's right thing to do. And it's really easy to say, oh, I don't care, I want to live my happy life and don't care about anything. But these people change nothing in the world, those who live just for themselves. Only people who really want to change the world can change it. So I want to encourage everyone, if you feel that you see injustice, if you feel you can change, you can improve someone's life, you can help others, please do, because you are the change.
Okay, on this note, I will say thank you so much, Tamara, for speaking to Latvian Radio, and we wish you a soon victory in the fight with occupiers, and of course, like never-ending fight for veganism in your own life, right?
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
Raidieraksts drošinātājs.
Paldies divam par interviju ar Tamāru Human. Kurš būtu domājis, ka tik daudz īstenībā armijā karavīri dod priekšroku vegānu saturam? Būtībā, nu jā, ikdienā vai nu bija pirms karavīri, jau bija vegāni, vai nu arī varbūt karavīri nebija, bet nu vienkārši viņa dzīvesveids bija šāds, nu jā, dodoties armijā, tur jau, ja tev nav izvēles iespēja un ir jēd, nu, varbūt tāds ēdienis, pie kā tavs organismas ikdienā nav pieredzes, tad patiešām, nu, tam varbūt visai nepatīkams un diezgan nopietns seks, un tāpēc diezgan svētīgs darbs tiek darīts arī no Tamāras puses, un arī aizdomājos par to, ka iepriekš armijā, nu, jā, neviens par ēdienu tā īpaši varbūt nedomāja. Nu, ja mēs atceramies un runājam par to laiku, varbūt, kad daudzi mūsu interviju varoņi ir teikuši, ka, nu, Ukrainai kā tādai īsti armija īsti neeksistēja pirms 2014. Gada kara, bet nu daudz kas ir mainījies, un mainījies ir arī šajā ziņā, par ko jūs runājāt, par to, ka tiek domāts arī par tādu lietu kā uzturu, par to, ko militāra personas patērē vai nu frontē vai arī tālāk no tā, un tā ir vēl viena pazīme Ukrainas armijas transformācijai, un arī diezgan liela atšķirība, kā pat Tamāra minēja, no arī Krievijas armijas, jo, nu, protams, es neesmu pētījis, bet nu, es šaubos, ka tur ir kāda īpaša attieksme pret vegetāriešiem vai vegāniem Krievijas armijā.
Es gan teikšu tā, ka paskatoties Nacionālo bruņoto spēku mājaslapā, kur ir sadaļa karavīru dienas sausā uzturdeva, tur ir minēti 9 pamatēdienu varianti, neviens no tiem neizskatās vegāns. Jā, nu tā kā skatīsimies, nu patiesībā ir tā, ka šīs te vegānās pārtikas devas izvēles patiesībā ir kaut kas tāds, kas palēnām šobrīd tiek ieviests dažādās pasaules valstu armijās. Šķiet Izraela un ASV ir pirmrinnieki šajā ziņā un arvien vairāk un vairāk valstu armijas veic šo pāreju, ne pāreju, bet papildinājumu savā ēdienkartē. Tik tā redz, tā atšķirība ir, par ko es minēju jau iepriekš, ka ja tu esi profesionāls armīnieks un zini, kur tu gribi iet, un ja tu esi vegāns, tu domā, vai tu varēsi vai nevarēsi uzturēt to savu dzīves veidu, iespējams, tu esi daudz biežāk mājās, tad situācija, ka tu esi aktīvā kara zonā, kad tu tiec iesaukts armijā, tev īsti nav izvēles iespēju, tā ir tomēr pavisam cita situācija. Bet nu jā, to jau mēs ar Tamāru runājām. Ja jums ir savs viedoklis par to, ko jūs dzirdējāt, atrakstiet mums uz drošinātājs at Latvijas Radio LV. Ja jūs esat vegāns, šķiet, cerams, jums šis bija ļoti interesanti. Ja jūs zinat kādu vegānu, tad noteikti padalieties ar saiti uz drošinātājs šīs nedēļas epizodi. Aizsūtiet radiem draugiem paziņām un lieciet tur tos īkšķīšus, zvaigznītes vai kas un kurā platformā pienākas. Tas šai reizē viss. Vai tev, Rihard, vēl kaut kas bija sakāms?
Jā, man ir sakāms tas, ka mēs joprojām gaidām noteikti no jums dažādus ierosinājumus un atsauksmes, jo mūsu e-pasta kastīte joprojām nav pārbāsta, tajā vēl noteikti ir vieta, tādēļ droši rakstiet mums, un e-pasts joprojām ir nemainīgs, drošinātājs atlatvijsradio.lv, un arī uz 101. Epizodes laiku gaidīsim jaunas idejas no jums un arī atsauksmes.
Bet un gan sakām jums visu labu un sadzirdēšanos pavisam drīz, tik atcerieties! Drošinātājs. Tas ir skaidri un personīgi par karu Ukrainā. Raidieraksts drošinātājs.